God gave to man the Ten Commandments, he set forth his holy law on two tables of stone. The two tables of stone signify that there are two main parts or two main aspects to God's law. In the first four commandments set forth on the first table of stone, we have man's duty towards God. This is man's first duty in life, to love God first and foremost and to live a life that honours him. The Lord Jesus declared in Matthew 22, verses 37 and 38, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind." This is the first and great commandment. The first four commandments in the Ten Commandments then set forth man's first duty, that which he needs to particularly focus upon, his duty before God, his Creator. And this is man's first responsibility. This is our first duty in life, and we should never forget this. We must honour the Lord. We must love him first and foremost and live for his glory. Then in the last six commandments, which God wrote on the second table of the law, we have man's duty towards his fellow man. These precepts of God reveal to us how we are to behave towards others and how we are to treat our neighbour. You see, as we live in this world, we don't only have certain duties and responsibilities before God, but we've also certain duties and responsibilities when it comes to our fellow man. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 22 spoke of, or after the Lord Jesus in Matthew 22 spoke of the first and great commandment, he then said this, and the second is like unto it, "Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself." The Lord then, in giving his law, set it forth on two tables of stone, revealing to men their twofold duty in this world. They are to love God first and foremost, and then they are to love their fellow men as themselves. This is the twofold part, the twofold aspects to God's law. Now, in the second table of God's law, which sets forth man's duty to his fellow man, the very first commandment in this table deals with the whole subject of respecting and honouring those in positions of authority. And that's really what the fifth commandment deals with. Deals with the whole subject of respecting and honouring those who are over us. The fifth commandment is, "Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." This commandment, of course, deals with children honouring and obeying their parents. And that's very important. Children ought to honour and obey their parents. They ought to respect them and love them. Yet the principle and truth set forth in the fifth commandment goes beyond. It goes beyond the relationship between children and parents. This commandment can also be applied to every relationship in life where we are to show respect to those in the possession of authority over us. As God then, in the second table of the law, sets forth man's duty to his fellow man, he begins by speaking of the importance of respecting and honouring those that are in a position of authority over us. And this is how the second table of the law commences, by God pointing to this great truth, that we are to respect and we are to honour those who are in positions of authority over us. And therefore, this is a very important matter. We could say, as God put this commandment first in the second table of the law, he was highlighting this is really man's first duty in regard to his fellow man, to show respect, to show honour to those that are in possession of authority over them. And so this is a very important matter, a very significant matter. And the Lord has highlighted this as he gave the law. Sadly, in our world today, there is a great disrespect for authority. And we see this in every level of society. A disrespect for authority. A disrespect for those who hold positions of honour and respect. As Christians, this should not surprise us, for the Word of God tells us that one of the wicked features of the last days is a total disrespect for authority. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 and 2, he said this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." The blasphemer is one who disrespects God. totally disrespects God. And this is what Paul says will happen in the last days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And then he says this, disobedient to parents. That is a disrespect for men. Even for parents who we ought to have a natural respect for. And this is what will happen in the last days. Men will have a disrespect for God. They will be blasphemers. But they will also have a disrespect for authority. Even being disobedient to their parents. One of the wicked features then that will characterize the last days is the lack of respect for authority. Yet as Christ's people, as those that are called unto holiness, this disrespect for authority, which is a feature of the wickedness of the last days, ought not to be found amongst us. It ought not to be found amongst the people of God. Instead, the believer is to take heed to the fifth commandment and always seek to honor those in authority over them. And this is how we are to live as God's people. This is how we are to live as Christians in this world. Always seeking to honor and respect those that are in positions of authority over us. Now, the reason why I've drawn your attention to this whole subject of respecting and honoring those who are over us is because in the passage in 1 Samuel that we're coming to today, we are told here of how the prophet Samuel treated Saul, the man chosen to be the first king in Israel, with the greatest respect. Samuel here in this passage shows the greatest respect to Saul, the future king of Israel. Samuel at this point was an old man. He was the old prophet in Israel, a man that had served the Lord for many years and would have been revered by the people. Yet despite his status as prophet in Israel, and despite his age, he treats young Samuel, or young Saul, the man God had chosen to be king, in a most respectful way. And this is what he does here, and this is what we witness in the second half of 1 Samuel 9. Samuel's behavior here is then a good example to every Christian and how we are to respect those in positions of authority over us. Here is the old prophet Samuel. Here is this man who was godly and righteous. And he is a good example to us and how we ought to respect others who are in positions of authority over us. Therefore, the subject I want us to consider today as we think of these verses is Samuel's respect for Saul. Samuel's respect for Saul. And there are a couple of things I want us to note here about Samuel being respectful to young Saul. A couple of things which really teach us how we are to show respect to those God has placed over us. In the first place, notice with me here, Samuel honored Saul. Samuel honored Saul. Notice again the words of verses 18 and 19. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for ye shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart." We are told here of how when Saul and his servant came to the city where Samuel lived, this was the city of Ramah, they met Samuel at the gate. Saul and his servant met Samuel at the gate. Saul, not realizing that the man he approached was Samuel, he said to him, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." And the seer, of course, was a reference to the prophet. He was asking where the prophet is, where Samuel is. Samuel then tells Saul, "I am the seer. I am God's prophet." I think it is important to note here Saul's lack of knowledge in regard to Samuel. Remember who Samuel was. He was God's prophet. He was the man that brought to the people of Israel the word of God. At this time in Israel, Samuel was in effect Israel's Bible. The people there in those days didn't have a copy of the scriptures. They didn't have the written word of God. And so they heard God's word from God's prophet. Samuel then was in effect Israel's Bible at this stage. He was the man that brought to them God's word. He told them the things they needed to know. He taught them. And yet Saul did not know this man. He did not know this man. He was not in any way familiar with Samuel, the man who brought to the people the word of God. Does this not reveal to us his knowledge of God's word was greatly lacking? It was greatly lacking. We noted last time that Saul, spiritually speaking, was a shallow man. He was an individual greatly lacking in holy conviction and love for the Lord. Well, here we see one of the sad reasons why he was so shallow when it came to spiritual things. He was not acquainted with God's word as he should have been. Obviously, it was the case when Samuel went from place to place throughout Israel preaching God's word that Saul never came to hear Samuel. He never turned up. He didn't even recognize him. When he saw him, he didn't know this was God's prophet. This was the man that brought the word of God. And so there was this neglect of God's word in his life. We are to be strong Christians, believers with spiritual depth, then we need to be well acquainted with the word of God. This is vital. This is vital. Here we see at the very start of as we're introduced to Saul in Scripture, we see the reason why he was a shallow man spiritually. A man who was lacking when it came to his knowledge of the word of God. The Lord says in Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The Lord's speaking about his own people here. The word destroyed here means to fail, to fail. My people are failing for lack of knowledge. How many professing Christians are living lives of weakness and even failure because of their lack of knowledge? Their lack of knowledge of God's word, their lack of knowledge of truth. And there's not the spiritual depth there ought to be. There's a shallowness. And here's the main reason for it. They're not feeding upon the word of God. They're not nourishing their souls and growing strong in the faith through the bread that God has given to them, his word. And so we see here Saul didn't recognize Samuel. However, despite the fact that Saul's first meeting with Samuel revealed his lack of knowledge when it came to God's word, we still see here how Samuel honored Saul. How he honored Saul. And greatly honored him because he was the man chosen to be king. He was the man God had put over them or would put over them. Notice then in this passage how Samuel showed honor to Saul. How he showed honor to this man. We see here Samuel gave to Saul the honored position. That's the first way he honored him. He gave to him the honored position. We read of this in verse 22. See again what it says there in verse 22. And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. As Samuel brings Saul to the feast, he made Saul sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden. It obviously would have been the case that those at this feast would have been the leading men in the city. They would have been the leading men in the city of Ramah where the feast was. Yet Samuel set Saul in the chiefest place or seat. And he does this because Saul was the man God had chosen to be king over all Israel. Samuel then, before the people, honored Saul in the position he gave to him. He gave to him the chief position. The position that was above all the rest. Because this is the position he would hold. He would be king over all Israel. And therefore Samuel recognized his high position and he gave him the chief seat in this feast. Now what godly Samuel did here teaches us how we are to honor those, how we are to honor those God has placed over us. We are to give to them the respect that their position demands. And that's how we are to honor those that God places over us. We are to give to them the respect that their position demands. And really this applies in every area of life. This applies in family life. In family life. Colossians 3:18-20 very much speaks of how there is to be honor in every relationship found in the home. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And so a wife is to honor her husband. And remember, this is the Lord speaking to his people. His own people. And he says to wives, you submit to your own husbands. You're to honor your own husbands. Then God goes on to say, husbands, love your wives
and be not bitter against them. The act of loving your wife means you honor her. Give her her place. Then Paul goes on to say, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so children are to honor their parents. And this is speaking just of the family setting. And it's God's will for us that we honor those in the positions that are over us. This also must be, there also must be honor shown when it comes to church life as well. Not only family life, but church life. Hebrews 13 and 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls. And this is speaking about leadership within the church. The eldership. You are to obey and submit yourselves to them, for they watch for your souls. You are to honor those men in leadership and respect them and give to them their due place and submit yourself to them. And again, this is not the words of a man or a church. This is what Christ says to his people. This is what Christ says to us. Again, as Christians, we must show honor in the workplace, not only in the family life, not only in church life, but in work life. 1 Peter 2 and the verse 18 tells us, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. We're told here how we're to show honor to those that are over us in the workplace. And notice what Peter says here, not only to the good and gentle, not only to those that are gracious towards us and are good to us, but also to those who are froward. And the word froward means crooked and perverse. To those that would mistreat us in the workplace, to bosses that would maybe be unkind to us, we're still to honor them. We're still to honor them and give them their place. And as we see here with Saul, honor must not only be shown in family life, in church life, in work life, but also in civil life. Honor must be shown to the civil authority. Romans 13 and 1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And that's speaking about government. Government in the land. And we are to give them their place, their rightful place, and show them their respect that their position demands. You see, what we learn from Scripture is that it's God's will. It's God's will that we honor those in every position of authority over us. And that's what God teaches us in His Word. This is how we are to live as God's people. Being respectful. And showing respect where it is due. And you may say to me, well, this is not really a big issue. Is this really a big issue? It is. Remember the fifth commandment. The very first law and the second table of the law. God wants us to behave in this way. And as you go to the New Testament, we are reminded of this duty in every station of life. So this is a big issue. This is important. Samuel gave to Saul the honored position. Gave him the honored position. And this is how we are to treat those in authority over us in life. But then notice also here, Samuel gave to Saul the honored portion. Not only the honored position, but the honored portion. This is brought before us in verses 23 and 24. It says there, and Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I give thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder, and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it by thee, and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. Here we are told that Samuel gave to Saul the special portion that had been set aside. It really was the choicest or the best portion. This piece of meat that had been set aside from the rest was brought out there. The special piece of meat, this choicest piece of meat was brought out and given to Saul at the feast. Now as we think of Saul receiving the best portion, this really was an act of affection. It was an act of affection and love by Samuel for Saul. Saul no doubt would have been surprised by this, but he would have also been touched by Samuel's kindness and affection for him. Think of it. There Saul is brought into the feast, given the chief seat. And then this piece of meat that was brought out. In those days, this was very significant. Very significant. And he got the choicest piece of meat. He got that which stood out. And you can imagine Saul saying, is this really for me? Is this mine? Samuel said, yes, this is for you. No doubt he would have been touched. He would have felt Samuel's love and kindness and generosity towards him. His affection for him. And so we can say Samuel not only gave to Saul the honored position, he also gave to him the honored portion. He showed great love and affection for Saul. Love and affection for Saul in the way he treated him. Again, Samuel here is a great example to us in how we are to honor those in authority over us. How we are to honor those in authority over us. We're not only to be, or we're not to be unkind or resentful towards them, which is often how people behave towards those in positions of authority. They're resentful. They're bitter. Very often the attitude is, who do they think they are? Do they think they're better than us? We're every bit as good as them. And there's this resent for authority. There's this bitterness and rebellion against authority. And this is what happens today. But the opposite ought to be the case with the Christian. We are to show love and affection to those God has placed over us. We're to show love and affection even when we disagree with them. Even when we disagree. We are to be like Samuel here with Saul. We are to show love and affection towards them. In 1 Peter 2 verse 17 we are told, fear God, honor the king. Fear God, honor the king. The word honor here comes from a Greek word which means to show love. Fear God, show love to the king. That's the thought here. It speaks about honoring the king. Show love to the king. Remember the time in which Peter wrote these words to God's people. What was the king doing? Do you know what the king was doing? He was slaughtering them. Peter wrote his epistle to the persecuted church. As they were being thrown to wild beasts and burnt alive, Nero was putting them to death. And yet Peter, what does he do? He writes to them and he says, honor the king. Show love to the king. You see, this is the way we as Christ's people are to honor all those over us. We're not only to submit to their authority, but we are to show them affection. To show them that we're not against them. To show them that we're not resentful and bitter. That we're not opposed to rule and government. That's how we are to behave as God's people when we are faced with authority. Samuel here, he honored Saul, the future king. And this is how we are to live with those who are over us, honoring them. But then notice with me, secondly here today, Samuel not only honored Saul, but Samuel helped Saul. He helped Saul. In this whole incident where Saul meets Samuel for the first time, we see that Samuel is a great source of help and assistance to Saul. He's a great source of help and assistance to Saul. Samuel knew the great and heavy responsibility that would soon be placed upon the shoulders of Saul. And so he does all that he can to be of assistance and help to him. Now as we read in these verses of how Samuel helped and supported Saul, we are reminded of how we as Christians are to support and help those that are in positions of responsibility and authority over us. We're to help them. You see, as believers, we're not only to honor those in positions of authority, but we're also to help them. We're to help them in a number of ways and assist them as they bear the burden of government and leadership. Notice then here how Samuel was a great source of help and support to young Saul, the man who was soon to be the king in Israel. We see here Samuel helps Saul in his praying. That's the first thing. He helps Saul in his praying. See again in verse 19 what Samuel says to Saul. Verse 19 tells us, and Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me onto the high place. For ye shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. Notice here Samuel tells Saul,
go up before me onto the high place. The high place. This is where he sent Saul to, the high place. Now the high place was the place of sacrifice. And it was the place of prayer. And this is what happened at the high place. God's people gathered to offer sacrifice and to pray. And we see this in verse 12 in 1 Samuel 9. See what it says in verse 12. And they answered, we'll read verse 11 just to get the context. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water. And said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. And so here we see that Samuel had come and he was there at the high place to make sacrifice. But they made sacrifice as they sought God. And that's the point. They gathered the high place to make sacrifice and to seek God and to pray. And this is why Israel assembled in these places. As Samuel then directs Saul to the high place, there's the thought here of Samuel bringing Saul to the place of prayer. Or we could say Samuel brings Saul before God in prayer. This is how Samuel first and foremost helped Saul. He brought him to the high place. He brought him before God in prayer. This was the first way. And notice here, as Samuel or Saul meets Samuel for the first time, this is the first thing that Samuel does for Saul. He brings him to the place of prayer. Now, this is how we are to help those that are in positions of authority over us. We are to pray for them. We are to bring them in before the high place of God's throne and seek the Lord on their behalf. And this is how we're always to pray for those who are over us and in positions of authority over us. We are to pray for them. This is one thing that God has instructed his people to pray for. Those in authority over us. Paul reminded Timothy of this. As he said to him in 1 Timothy 2 verses 1 to 3. I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour. Notice here that Paul speaks of how we are to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. This is a command. God has commanded us. And again, we are reminded of how important it is that we behave in the right way in regard to those who are over us and govern us. Because here is another command we've been given about this matter. We are to pray. Pray for kings. Pray for those that are in authority. And then notice the words that are added. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is what Christ desires us to do. He says to pray for kings and those in authority. And he says, this is good and acceptable to Christ. This is pleasing to him. This is what he wants us to do. Those in authority have got great and heavy responsibilities resting upon their shoulders. And we should always be mindful of this. Those in government, particularly those in leadership, have got great responsibilities. And they have to make difficult decisions. And one day they will have to give an account of how they have carried out their duties and responsibilities. That's a very serious thing. The greater responsibilities that we have in this life, then the more accountable we are. And of course that passes down through every avenue of life. The man in the home, the head of the home, will have to give an account for how he has led and governed in his own family. Not just for himself, but how he has actually managed his own family. He therefore needs prayer, because that's not easy. The elders in a church. Well, yes, we will have to answer for ourselves, but we'll also have to answer for how we have behaved within the house of God. Our responsibility, a greater responsibility has been placed upon our shoulders. And we'll have to give an account. That's why we need the prayers of God's people. When it comes to leadership in government, those in government
have to make very serious decisions. Solemn decisions. And one day they will be called before judgment, God's judgment throne, and they will have to give an account about those things. Therefore, as God's people, we need to pray for our leaders. Those that are over us, those that have authority over us. That they will be wise. And that they will be courageous. And that God will give them light and understanding. They are but men. Many of them held by the grip of Satan and darkness. Groping around, not even knowing how to manage themselves. And they're trying to govern nations and peoples. They ought to have our pity and sympathy in this sense. Because one day they'll have to give an account for their actions. We need to pray that God will give them help and wisdom. The first thing that Samuel did with Saul was he took him to the place of prayer. This is the way we are to help those in authority over us, to pray for them. But notice also here Samuel not only helped Saul in his praying, but he helped Saul in his practice. As we consider Samuel's behavior towards Saul, we have to say he behaved in a very humble and holy manner. Remember what is actually happening in this whole incident at this stage in Israel. Samuel has judged Israel for many years. He has served them both faithfully and sacrificially. He's given his life to this work, judging Israel, for ruling there as God's servant. But then the people of Israel came to Samuel and said, "You're too old. We don't want you. We don't want you anymore to judge us and rule over us. We don't want you, Samuel, anymore. Get us a king. Get us a king." This would have been deeply hurtful for Samuel. You can imagine that. Here is this man, this elderly man who has given his whole life to Israel, seeking to instruct them and judge them in the things of God. And now they come to him and say, "Samuel, we don't want you anymore. Get us a young man. Get us a king. One who can lead us in battle." This would have been so hurtful to Samuel. However, as Saul then comes along, a man who was, spiritually speaking, very much below Samuel, Samuel does not behave in a resentful and bitter way. He does not treat Saul in a wrong way. He's not antagonistic against him. The opposite is the case. He behaves in a meek and gracious way towards Saul. Even though Saul is this very man that is going to replace him, he is still kind and gracious towards him. See again the words of verse 20 here. It tells us there, "And as for thine asses," this is Samuel speaking to Saul, "as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found." And then he says this, on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and in all thy father's house?" Notice here how Samuel is encouraging Saul, telling him how he is the one Israel are looking for. And these are words of encouragement. "Saul, Israel are behind you. Israel are seeking for you. The desire of Israel has fallen upon you, Saul." And he's been kind and gracious towards Saul. Now as we examine Samuel's behavior at this time, both before Saul and towards Saul, he really was a godly example. A godly example to Saul. A godly example of how to behave in a gracious and good way. Despite the natural hurt he would have felt and the rejection by Israel, he still behaves in a most gracious and godly way towards Saul. Saul was about to be king. He was about to take the throne in Israel. Well, Samuel, in his behavior, shows Saul how to behave in a good and godly manner. How to behave as a good and godly king. This then was also how Samuel helped Saul. By the practice of his life, by simply showing Saul how to behave in a righteous and godly manner. And this is what he does here. As the passage, or as power was handed from Samuel over to Saul, he behaves in a most gracious and godly manner. We could look at what happened when David was coming to the throne of Israel and how Saul behaved. We see Saul's bad behavior at that time. How he mistreated David. How he was envious of him. How he was jealous. How he was trying to kill David. Behaved in a bad way. And we often think about Saul's behavior in that sense. But think of Samuel here. He's the complete opposite. He behaved in such a good and gracious and godly way. And as Christians in this wicked world, here's another way we are to help or be of help and assistance to those who are in positions of authority over us in life. We are to be a holy example before them, living a Christ-like and godly life. This is how we are to be an help to those who are in positions of authority. We are to be an example to them, a godly example to them. And sometimes we don't grasp this. This is especially true when it comes to those who are over us in the workplace. How can we help those who perhaps are antagonistic against us in the workplace, who mistreat us, and who are ungodly? By living like Christ before them. That's how we can help them. By showing them how to live. By showing them true godliness. By showing them true meekness and graciousness. We can help them and be of assistance to them. Think of Joseph. Joseph in Potiphar's house. His master noticed that the Lord was with him. Now what does that mean? It means that as he watched Joseph work day by day as a slave in his house, he could see that there was something godly about this young man. Something different. And that was a help to Potiphar. That was such an assistance to Potiphar. And you see, this is how we help those in positions of authority over us, by not only praying for them, but living in a godly way before them, showing them true godliness and righteousness. This was how Samuel helped Saul, not only in his praying, but also in his practice, in the godly practice of his life. One last thing, notice with me here, and that is Samuel helped Saul in his preaching. He helped Saul in his preaching. See now verse 25 and also verse 27 here in 1 Samuel 9. Verse 25 tells us, "And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house." So here we have Samuel, and he's communing with Saul, he's speaking to him. And then verse 27 tells us, "And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, 'Bid the servant pass on before us.' And he passed on, 'But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God.'" In these verses we are told of how Samuel brought God's word to Saul. He brought God's word to Saul. Think of those words, those final words in verse 27. "Stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Show thee the word of God. This is what Samuel wanted to do for Saul. He wanted Saul to have the word of God. And we've already noticed Saul was lacking in this department. He was greatly lacking in this department. But Samuel, he communed with him upon the housetop. He brought him to the housetop, and no doubt he brought God's word to him, and he sent the servant on, and again he brings God's word to him. Brings to him the truth. Samuel then helps Saul, not only by praying for him, and by being a godly example before him, but he also helps Saul by setting the truth of God before him, by bringing to him God's word. Again, we have to see here the prophet Samuel is very much a great example to us, and how we should seek to help those who govern and rule over us in life. This is how we need to help them. Speaking the truth to them. It's God's people, as those that know the truth. We are to speak the truth and proclaim that which is righteous to those in positions of authority over us in this world. And that's what we are to do. We're to be bold in this sense. Courageous in this sense. Speaking the truth to those that need to hear us. Need to hear it. This is especially true when it comes to our civil leaders, to our government. And we should explain this to them when they come looking for our votes. When they come knocking on our doors looking for our votes. This is what we ought to explain to them. As Christians, we should take the time and speak directly to them. Especially if they're in parties. Are there politicians that are advocating that which is wicked and sinful? We should, not in a rude way, or an abrupt way, or in a nasty way, condemn them. But simply say, you know, I'm a Christian. And here's the truth. And this is why I can't vote for you. This is why I can't vote for your party. Because they're defying God. And this is a this is defiant in his face. This is so evil and wicked. And we ought to do this as Christians. Sometimes we can be sort of, well, all politicians just, they're all the same. But think of all of God's people, if they behaved in this way when the politicians would round the doors and said to them, listen, this is wrong. We often hear all of the wicked lobbyists for the left, those promoting abortion and same-sex marriage, and they're always pushing their agenda. And yet so often the church and God's people are silent. We need to speak the truth boldly, courageously, because this is what our leaders need to hear. They need to know the truth. When men in authority do wrong, it is not loving, it is not helpful to them not to speak the truth. And this is how we are to behave. This is how we are to help them, speaking the truth to them. Samuel then showed great respect to Saul, as he was the man God would place upon the throne in Israel. He showed great respect to this man. He honored Saul. He greatly honored him, but he also helped Saul. And as Christ's people, this is the way we are to respect those in positions of authority over us. We are to honor them, honor their position, but we're also to help them, to pray for them, live godly lives before them, and also to preach the truth to them. Preach the word of God to them. Set the truth before them. And we are to do this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. This is all part of living in obedience to God's command, to the fifth commandment. May the Lord help us even to honor those and respect those who are in authority over us, that we may live lives that are pleasing in God's sight. I trust God will bless his word to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.